With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2018 season primer for the Melbourne Demons. My name is Heath and Josh is with me. And we've got a couple of guests today. We've got Ricky back again for another year from Sports Berserk. How you doing, Ricky?
Yeah, not too bad. Good to be back.
And Halves from halftime.com.au. How you doing, Halves?
Very good.
Thanks for joining us, guys. So we're just going to look back at Melbourne's 2017 first and then what's forward for them. We'll start with ninth on the ladder and 12 wins. And Clayton Oliver was the best and fairest. But it's fair to say that last hurdle, that was where it came down for Melbourne.
Yeah. Still hard to talk about.
Well, someone had to go.
No, yeah. No, actually, at work, I was telling, well, I mean, I've been sort of telling the story that my dog died and that's why I keep having these breakdowns during the day.
Didn't have a dog?
No, I don't have a dog. Never had a dog.
Not anymore.
But, I mean, so it's, yeah. I mean, we look back on the season, the whole season, and there was just the loss to Frio by a couple of points, the loss to North Melbourne by 22 free kicks to 10.
and let's be plural, because I've got that down as one of the low lights for Melbourne.
But. Yeah, the other loss in Tassie, well, you know,
it's Tassie.
That was just, yeah, some young players getting pretty tired, and I don't know, I can't make any more excuses than that for them, but...
Where was nap time at three-quarter time?
When you got the wind behind you and everything like that. But anyway, there's that. There was actually the game against Richmond when Spencer went down and Bull Smith went down and then Petrarca was hobbling around on one leg. So we had three players who were up by the end of the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, we just had no run and Richmond ran over the top of us. And then there's the Geelong game when Max Gorn went down. So there's a bunch of those where you look at it and you go, if just that little bit of luck, no injuries in those or something like that, that actually would have meant we were playing finals. Well,
Maxie missed, nine games in the middle of the year? Like that takes a lot out of you. Because it's not just once you get back, then you've got to get back into the speed of it and, you know, and that side of it. So that
And it was a hamstring injury as well. So even when he came back, he wasn't running at, not that he was known to be a great runner,
but
per se.
Still.
But also just watching his jumping in marking contests, he sort of wasn't getting too many inches off the ground. So you could tell there was a, you know, he wasn't 100% back from the hamstring injury, but, you know, as a ruckman, you can get around that. But he just wasn't playing with the form that we would have liked to have seen from Big Gorney.
If you go back to the start of the year, though, like finishing ninth, just out of the eight, is that a pass mark, do you think, if you went back to January this year with what was coming
up? Yeah, I'd say there'd be a lot of fans that... I mean, the expectation was finals.
Yeah.
Like, when I talked to you guys, I put Melbourne eighth, so it was close.
Pretty close. Did, well,
and St Kilda seventh, so eight. That was why.
0.5 percentage points off you were.
yeah, so...
He started
at the start of the season, and it's the onions. The start of the season, if you had have said ninth and you missed by a bee's dick, then I probably wouldn't have been completely upset with that.
But when you get there.
But the heartbreak of it all was, it was pretty full on, especially when we had it all in our own hands, rocked up and played an absolute rubbish game against
Collingwood. Of anybody.
Yeah, that's right. So.
And the dog thing. That was sad.
and your imaginary dog dying as well. That didn't help. That's just rubbing salt into it. On the positive side of things, we've got a few positives for Melbourne, and one is Clayton Oliver. So is this season two or three?
Two.
Season two, and he's taken out the Bluey Truscott medal.
Yep.
That's not a bad effort for a second-year player. Well,
plus led them in goals, and I think it was second in score involvements. So getting plenty of the ball and doing good stuff with it.
Can play.
It's going through him a fair bit, fair to say.
He was, I think, fifth in total possessions for the league as well.
Again, and second year.
I mean, admittedly, 80% of that was handballs, but he...
That's the modern game.
He certainly knows how to find it.
Mate, I'm coming from a team that has Tommy Mitchell. We're not gonna say anything about those little handballs. A
couple of great dives.
Hey, clipped it. The elbow was thrown. Sorry, you got a punch on with a fan. That's good.
I thought
redhead.
Some other highlights of the year had a real contender for goal of the year.
Yeah,
with Jaden Hunt. Jaden.
Yep, the big tall.
I tell you what, not a bad effort. Yeah. And the camera angle right behind it too. Just perfect. You don't get that anymore.
Just connected and watched it sail. It was beautiful.
Had no right. What other positives we got for Melbourne?
Petrarca, his development.
Yeah, he's getting there.
He actually led the team in score involvements. So he's smart with the ball. He's not... he's not as good as he's going to be. He is going to have a brilliant 2018.
I hope so. I hope he's got to get better. But I thought Petrarca, he had the kind of season that Oliver had. Sorry, he didn't have the season that Oliver had. But you'd expect that from him as opposed to Oliver, if that makes any sense.
I think the difference is the role. So the role Petrarca played is a half forward.
Yep.
And moved him into the... When Viney went down and Jones was injured and things like that, we were playing him more in the midfield. The idea is to rotate him through the midfield anyway, but... They had to increase the game time that they were doing that for him.
Yeah,
his first, I'd say, two-thirds of the season were great. So he would get 20 possessions. He'd kick four goals or two goals or whatever it might be. You know, his tackling, his pressure work was pretty damn good. I think the tail end of the season, I think he was a little bit cooked.
Yeah,
I think a lot of our players were, but...
I mean, that's what you expect when you're having to spend, you know, an hour after every game looking for someone to piss in a cup for you.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
I mean, some of the other highlights, the win over Adelaide in Adelaide. That was a fantastic four-quarter effort where nobody gave them a chance. And, you know, if you look at the bookies, we're probably predicting a 10-goal loss. It was Adelaide's first loss for the year or second loss for the year?
Second loss.
First is North, yeah. So there's some positives there for him as well.
Yeah, and I went over for that game. It was particularly enjoyable. I was actually watching it with Jack Watts' dad. So, well, my wife was. She was started chatting to him.
I like how she just left you. This guy's better.
There was no getting her back.
Well, that was also the game where, the Adelaide members requested that anyone bringing a non-Adelaide supporter.
Saints.
I was a Saints game. Yeah. You know,
The well-heeled fans, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Even that Melbourne game, though, there was quite a lot of stories about people, you know, you can call or text a message saying that there's a
unruly
member in the audience that's being a pain in the ass, and they do that to supporters from other teams.
To be fair, though, that could have been just they were having white wine with red meat. You know, the Melbourne supporters were complaining.
I wouldn't accuse the Melbourne supporters of that. They wouldn't make such a rookie error.
And that was the other highlight I could think of during the year was the Melbourne supporter with the cheese board who made himself famous. clearly, he's just done it for the social media, and well done to him.
I was disappointed. Like, I've called that as the Melbourne Adelaide was the Daffanoy versus Darenberg. Unfortunately, that went over a lot of people's heads. But I'll take that. Daffanoy is good cheese. I like it.
Collingwood must have been up and about.
The lowlights for Melbourne, obviously we've covered off round 23, but for me, the other lowlight was losing twice to North, because we're looking at a 17-game winning streak now.
That's amazing.
For North Melbourne.
Yes, for North Melbourne. It's
10
one
years,
thing
I think it
to
is.
To say that Melbourne have had some dark times, but I mean, that's one of the positives, is disappointed in just missing out on the eight instead of disappointed in missing out on three wins, as opposed to what it used to be. But to go down twice to North is still... It's something to look forward to this year, I think. They got two games against North, they got a chance to end.
Thing to look forward to next year, there's only one.
Yeah.
So they can only lose once.
That's one way of saying. Are they playing in Tassie again?
I think they are.
JLT in the pre-season.
JLT, yeah, let's not.
Exactly. So I'm glad we're getting it out of the way before the actual season starts.
That's it. All right, let's have a look at their list changes then. So we've got lots of outs. You've got Colin Garland, who was a bit unlucky.
Yeah, well, he didn't play any this in 2017. 2016, he played very limited time.
I was going to say, I think
he had a knee reco and stuff like that.
Played half a dozen or something like that in 2 years. Yeah,
so he's pretty well-loved at the club by the fans and everything because he was a pretty good player when we were going through a pretty shit time.
Yeah.
And he actually chose to stick with the club instead of moving on, which actually, you know, in hindsight, might have been better for him to go somewhere else. But, yeah, he's well-loved and he's already got a coaching position with the club.
So he's looking after the next part of his life.
Yeah, so he'd already been doing that this year, sort of part-time development coaching role-ish yep. type, probably an unofficial title. And so, yeah, they're quite happy to bring him through and get that sort of stuff into him, which is great. Love having old Cole around the club.
Yeah, it's good. It says a lot for the club as well to try and keep the players on because that attracts new players. When you come here, we'll look after you. You know, it's a life. It's not just a
The biggest significant change at the Melbourne Footy Club in the, you know, since Ruse came in was a cultural change.
Yeah.
And Colin Garland clearly was a part of that. And they clearly see he can contribute to that, you know, going forward.
Was he part of the change or was he part of the change that needed to be? Or a bit of both?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't really know what you're trying to get at by that.
Was he the one helping the change through or one
it's
of the
like
ones
your
that
cheese
went...
cheese jokes and it's going for my head.
Was he the ones that helped make the change or they went, guys, you Cole, you need to sort yourself out?
Did he get a choice in that?
I don't think there was anything like that with Colin Garland.
So it's part of the change, not a reason for the change.
Yep,
there we are. Jack Trengrove. Who again, we talk about Colin Garland sat out the last couple of years. Well, Jack played 10 games in 5 years, it feels like.
Yeah, I think he played 2 this year.
Yeah.
He was ripping it up in the VFL, easily over 25 touches in a game. And
Tyrone Vickery.
No, he wasn't.
that's a lie. Actually, no. Ripping up his contract in the VFL.
He was also identified as one of the leaders, like all the boys in the VFL absolutely loved him, and that's right. So, you know, he's still, all the fans, again, loved seeing him get back out on the track. But watching the game against Port Adelaide, which we won, but he played in that game later in the season, and I think there was a play where Boke was at the contest on Melbourne's half back and managed to get the handball, dish it off and start running down, get it back again. And Trengrove was the one chasing him and basically ran all the way to the 50 and he just couldn't even get near him. So I think that, you know, is it past him? I definitely hope not. I'd like to see him succeed. But I think that showed... I was watching a bit of the grand final. I was watching a bit of the replay. I just, for whatever reason, decided to do that. And just the speed of that game was insane. And, you know, can you afford to have players that can't keep up with that?
There is a point where you've got to put the emotion out of it. Yeah. And it was funny. I think even at the Best and Fairest account, they noted how well-received Jack Trengrove and Jack Watts were and how loved they are. Because you get that sense from the Melbourne fans that they're, if he goes on and plays a dozen games for Port next year, they're happy for him.
Yeah.
You know?
As long as Port don't kick Melbourne out of the finals or anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a limit, isn't there, to anybody's generosity. But
you want to see people do well, just not better than you.
Yeah, exactly. And not at your expense.
Yeah.
I'm super keen to see how these boys do at Port Melbourne, but Port Adelaide. But with Port Adelaide as well, they didn't beat a top 18.
No. No, I think that they were fortunate to finish where they did. And when Luke Chewy kicked that goal, I was cheering.
But when you were talking about the speed, Melbourne, the grand final last year, the main key that Richmond had was tackle pressure. Mm. Every time anyone was near the ball, tackle. Melbourne actually had the second highest average of tackles for last year. The problem being, they also had the second highest average for being tackled. So the speed of getting away from the ball, and you know, probably don't handball to a bloke arms reach away. Right. If they can just get that little bit more speed, a little bit more broken tackles, they're going to emulate the way Richmond played.
That might come back to old Paul Roos' tactic.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Contested football and congestion. Yeah. You know, lock it up.
Well, especially if your big ticket is Maxi Gawn, you're going to want as many ball ups as you can get, aren't you? If he's dominating, but not that it happened this year. But
Goodwin's tactics are bit different. He wants to open it up a bit more, but not sacrifice too much. But it'll be interesting to see if it develops further, the attacking style develops further this year.
Well, it was only his first run around, wasn't it, in the big seat this year, really.
Yep.
So he's still yet to assert his dominance on the team, or his will, if you like. And mentioned quickly there, Jack Watts. So I think it's one of those ones where it had to happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's a shame he got thrown, you know, in front of the bus a little bit when he was first started and never really come back. Do you reckon he's going to find his feet at Port?
Yeah, it's funny. One of my feelings are that maybe there's going to be one or two things going to happen here. Either he's not going to,
yep.
he won't get in the team, he will struggle to play a few games, or he's going to come out and play career best footy. But as a Melbourne supporter, yes, I would like to see him still achieve success. But I also think that if he plays that career best football, it's because of the change that kind of needed to happen. Yep. If he had have stayed at Melbourne, would he have achieved, you know, that level of, you know, he's going to a new team with new coaches, a new playing group, and he has to prove himself to them all, you know, whereas at Melbourne, he's got a whole bunch of mates, you know, knows people, knows what he can and can't do and things like that.
What he can get away with.
Yeah, you know.
What did Melbourne get out of the trade?
Pick 31.
Yeah, so when he goes to Port, he's not the first draft pick. He's pick 31.
He's not even the first trade target they had.
No.
they've gone, you know, picked up, I think, a good half a dozen or so in the off-season already. So he's not like Porter putting their hopes and dreams behind him either.
No, he's probably not even in their top five.
Draft picks or trades
of players. I mean,
I don't know if he's in their top 25.
He's been a symbol, like at Melbourne,
for
that shit period of time that we went through, the terrible, terrible play and culture and everything that was around. It's just been symbolic of, I guess, the fans' hopes.
Yep.
So when he was achieving success, all the fans were just so happy and. You know, that was symbolic of the turnaround and the change in the club. So
there's a little bit of Tyrone Vickery about him in that respect. Like, because Tyrone became the punchline for Richmond's woes.
So the whipping boy.
Absolutely the whipping boy. And, Richmond did all right once he got rid of him. But, you know, you never know. It can happen. Yeah.
Jack Watts can play football.
he might play some good football in the sample. Jake Spencer, also delisted end of the year. I found that one surprising.
I wasn't. When we were at that Adelaide game and we were talking to Jack Watts' dad, he was talking about how Spencer was extremely disappointed that he got injured because that year was... And that Gawn had gone down, that was Spencer's opportunity to put together some real highlight reel material for the off-season when he was going
he was
to
looking
go
anyway.
To the market.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're on a team with Max Gawn in it and you want to be... number one ruckman, you're not going to stay at that club.
It's got to be a different club. And Daniel Curry did the same thing at North, and it didn't work out for him either. But I thought that was an interesting one because it now does make the ruck stocks look a little thin.
Well, last year, as soon as Spencer went down after Pax,
then Pedersen came out and did well. I thought Watts played some of his best games
in the ruck. Yeah,
probably because they said, look, you're not a ruckman, but have a crack, and there was no pressure on him.
Sean Griggs did the same thing for Richmond. But the Inns, now, they've got Harley Ballack over from the West. Yeah, it's a player, I guess. But Jakey Lever, one of the hottest free agents. Well, not really a free agent at all, was he? He was a trade in the off-season, and Melbourne managed to land him. Besides a shitload of cash, he must have saw something at the Demons because he had options.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he did. Adelaide said that he had a lot of options. He had 10 different clubs that they wanted to negotiate with. So, but yeah, no, Melbourne, I think Melbourne got in pretty early.
Yep.
In their discussions with him. And
it's proven a great narrative too for the off-season, the whole negotiations with, you know, the Crows guys rocking up with the laptops and closed it and walked off without saying a word. I love it. It's great.
But I think it actually is a reflection on the change that's happened at Melbourne.
Yep.
And that I think they're a more professional outfit in terms of identifying who's coming out of contracts, the talent that's available out there at other clubs that,
yep,
you know, is potentially going to move on, and getting in, negotiating and having the early discussions and trying to make things happen as opposed to sort of just waiting for players to be delisted or waiting for,
yeah,
you know, and then having to throw your hat in the ring amongst six other teams or something like that. You're actually ahead of the game and they're trying to convince that player to go somewhere else.
You're saying offering someone $1 million in round three is a bad strategy?
Yeah, North tried. They tried their best. I think, yeah, offering it in round three, it did very well for one person. Just not for the North Football Club, though.
Well, to be fair, Dusty's going to convert that to New Zealand dollars eventually, which is like $10
billion. He might buy their NBN.
It was funny, though, because with North Melbourne, it failed. And they went, oh, no, let's do it. Josh Kelly, yeah, we'll give you millions of dollars too.
And then the next one.
And then he's gone, you know what, I'm just going to stay at GWS. Yes.
But even if it's on a 2-year contract, so that's not a, you know, don't call me. That's like, yeah, don't call me yet. You know, just...
No, that was like a, can someone else call me?
Anybody else? Anybody at all? No, he's just waiting until their window's shut for GWS. And, you know, 2 years is not a bad idea, I thought. All right, let's have a look at 2018 for Melbourne then. Their double-ups are Adelaide, Geelong, Gold Coast, Saints and the Bulldogs. I reckon that's rough. That's a rough lot of double-ups there for a team that finished outside the eight.
Except the Gold Coast.
Except Gold Coast, who are going
to
be shit.
Yeah, you put wins next to that. But Adelaide, Geelong...
Saints and Bulldogs.
They're probably not quite at the same level as them, although the Adelaide games will be interesting with Lever.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of focus on the Adelaide games. Mm. But Adelaide have got better. I think
I can see Adelaide though sitting outside the Hyatt Hotel where Melbourne's staying, and just pretty much getting people to play band all night and do the old Uruguay soccer team style thing. Yeah.
Well, the good thing is the first Melbourne Adelaide game, I believe, is played in the Northern Territory, so 5,000 people jeering is not really a big deal.
Well, you just got to try and keep those 5,000 people off the field. That's usually the trouble with the. If it's a night game up in Darwin, that's what usually happens.
Mm. I think calling it the BYO Daffanwire game is probably a bit silly as well, but whatever works for Melbourne supporters.
Not letting go of that cheese joke.
I'm going to make it fucking work somehow.
We'll have to edit it in somewhere, I think. But the double-ups with Saints and Bulldogs, they're a good test for them again because they're finished around the same mark in the on the ladder this year. And the Saints are looking to improve. Bulldogs have trimmed a little bit. But that's really going to tell you where Melbourne's at, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. You never know. So Collingwood's got the best, you know, schedule going into next year.
I love that.
I do too.
Because it means there's no fucking excuses.
Exactly.
40 but, years straight.
But as well, like, if you had have told me that, you know, that Melbourne's playing, I can't remember when we played Hawthorn, but early in the season, you're playing Hawthorn, I would have gone, crap, that's not a game that I'm really looking forward to. Start of the season, suddenly Hawthorn's an easy win, which we lost. But, well, but suddenly those, like your schedule suddenly looks completely different when suddenly Geelong, you know, aren't playing very well because they've got too many stars and, you know, things like that start happening.
It was like 2015, Freo coming off, you know, a tilt at the Premiership and all of a sudden they're like, Fife's out, Sandler's is out. They're shit.
Yep. And then your schedule's just looking fantastic. Yeah.
Although I don't think that's going to happen with Gold Coast. I think
they're shit
still
regardless.
Well accounted for.
Yeah.
Stewie Jury.
He'll turn them around, don't get me wrong, but not by round one.
I got to say, it's a long turning circle to turn them around.
He's turning a boat.
So who's going to have a big year then for Melbourne? Who's going to be the highlights for him this year, do you think?
Look, you can have the obviouses like with Petrarca and, you know, Clary will go again in the same way.
Yep.
I think Jack Viney with the injuries that he had last year that restricted him a bit and came back with that foot injury. and then had a ripping first quarter against Port Adelaide, basically played as good football as you're going to see from a player.
He seems to play really well against Port. I know Ollie Wines is his mate, but I wonder if that's a bit of him, because he's got a little bit of mongrel about him.
The player I'm super keen to see is Corey Maynard.
Okay, talk us through.
Yep, so he's played VFL. He was at Braden Maynard's brother from Collingwood. So he played college basketball.
We basketball background, there we go. Yeah,
picked him up as a B-grade rookie.
Yep.
Played two games, played quite well. One game against GWS, and actually played really well. I was surprised he didn't get another game, but he loves the contested ball.
Yep.
Tore it to pieces in the VFL, and then the final that Casey played against Richmond that we lost, but we came back from some ridiculous...
I think it was 25 in the quarter or something.
Yeah, and it was all off the back of Corey Maynard. Yep. It was just digging, getting the ball out. And watching his last quarter, he kept on finishing up at a contest, getting the ball, kicking it or dishing it out, and then straight away he's trying to run to the bench because he was just gassed. And the coach was like, get the hell back out there, man. We can't afford not to have you out there. And he just kept on playing on an empty tank. And he was... Yeah, and the coach came out as well afterwards and said that's the best game of VFL football I've ever seen from any player.
Well, you take that in any player. Like, you can have the most skilled players, but if they don't have that that drive to keep going when there's nothing left, then by three-quarter time in a premiership game, they're useless. But the guys who are above average, you can't be a shit player, but willing to just keep pushing when everyone else is fucked and they're almost vomiting sort of point, they're the players that make premierships.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got the college basketball in the States, so, they're usually pretty good outfits that know...
So he's probably got about eight illegitimate kids running around somewhere?
Yeah, he'd have that sort of elite sports background, he's sort of used to how that they train and everything.
The professionalism that's required to be an athlete.
Yeah, that's right. So, I'd like to think that's helpful for him.
I don't know, though.
It can't hurt.
You just look at the stature of the bloke, he's ripped.
You're going from college background basketball, which is highly professional, but they're not getting paid shit. So all of a sudden he's getting cash. He's like, fuck yes.
No, they're not getting paid shit above the table. They're getting paid. Don't worry about that. It's college basketball, for Christ's sake.
If that was the case, he would have gone to Carlton.
Yeah, well, he's had enough of it now.
He's got enough brown paper bags.
Yeah, now he's going for the old money instead. Who's in trouble then at the Demons? Is there anybody? Because
I think I think in trouble for a good reason is Cam Pedersen.
Right.
He's an above-average player in a lot of different ways, but below average in who he's competing against.
Well, he's competing against, sort of Maxi Gawn for the part-time ruckman, but also Jesse Hogan. And we know Hogan's better when he's fit and ready. It's just when he's fit and ready is a big thing. And not through any fault of his own. He's had a pretty horror run with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like Pedo, not just because of the nickname. But I think... He's one of those players where the less you see of him, the better the team's going. Because if you're using him, it means someone else has broken down.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you reckon, Harv? Do you reckon Josh is just a North Melbourne supporter with a chip on his shoulder?
Actually, he was one of the ones we said no thank you to, and he's actually had a decent career. He's one of the ones where he's done well enough that I can be happy for him, but not so well that I dislike him yet.
No, his last handful of games at the end of the season, he was best on ground for us. Yep. And against the Lions, he played a pretty good game, and St Kilda as well. He's getting to over 26 touches, pitch hitting in the ruck, and he's just one of those 100% effort all the time.
Exactly.
And it's that gas tank thing where he'll just run on empty and he'll do, and he's a massive team player, so he just, what do you want, coach?
Yeah,
do it for you. So he's a great asset. Will he be in and out of the team during the season? Quite possibly. He's the kind of one of the guys on the list you love to have, because he can play as a defender, he can play as a forward, he can play
as a
ruck, and he'll do whatever you want to do, and he'll do it 100%, and he'll tackle anyone that comes near him.
But unfortunately, even if Melbourne to go all the way to the grand final, he could be one of the blokes that misses out, because if your best 20, your best 22, he's not a part of.
But he'll be one of those stories as well where he missed out, but he was there in the change rooms helping everyone get ready.
And he would be, I believe it. He'd be running water if you had to.
Yep. So. I love having him on the list. I love that
he'd be cutting the cheese.
Signed him up again. Yeah, filleting the fish.
Cutting the cheese. That's cost Adelaide a premiership in 93. I put down Dom Tyson as well. Because I don't know how many chances he's got left. Because he spent, 8 weeks on the sidelines through suspension this year. There's only so many times you can go down that path where your skill level and how much trouble you get in sort of crosses over.
Dom Tyson?
Thomas Bug, sorry.
Yeah. Dom Tyson's gone, pretty safe.
Yeah, gone backwards.
What about Bug?
Yeah.
Bug is who I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. He
Bug by name.
He,
and nature.
If his goal kicking was straight, his season before swinging the fist would have actually been right up there. He had games where he kicked one goal, three, and those three goals were from 20 metres out, 15-degree angle kind of thing. Now, you can't miss those at AFL level. So, you know, he showed, and actually in the VFL in that same Tigers final, he was playing some ripping footy. He has the talent and the ability. He has the drive. He has all of the things that you could want. It's just getting the head straight.
He's been talking the talk before he could walk the walk, though. A little bit ahead of himself.
Yeah.
I'd say a long way ahead.
It's like a lot of those.
Just that tiny bit crazy.
Oh, yeah. Six shades of nuts.
Yeah.
But every team's got their crazy bastard.
All right. So where do we see them finishing up? How's 2018 going to look? Wins low-wise or ladder-wise? What do you reckon?
Mate, I'm still struggling after this season. I can't make any predictions.
Do we need to get you a new... I'm scared if somebody got you a new puppy, it's not going to see the year, real or imaginary.
I have to put it down with another excuse.
Shh, it's okay, you don't need to see this. Sleep forever.
Where do you think they are, halves?
I wouldn't be surprised if they just miss again. Yeah, sort of ninth. I mean, now Richmond's up in the eight. Someone has to take ninth every year, so I'm happy enough for it to be.
I mean, it's half of what they used to take all the time. They used to take 18th, or 16th back in the days. I actually reckon that their core group, another year older, you can't have as bad a luck as last year with Viney and Jones didn't play half a season. The two captains, I'm not convinced on. I reckon they should just pick one, but... Anyway, that's just my personal. But I think with the add of Lever gives them a little more class down back. Yeah. I got a couple of extra wins out of the season for them. I've got them in sixth. I know Brenton's not here, but he's got them in seventh. So where have you got them, Josh?
Eighth.
So sneaking in. All of us are picking them to sneak in.
I think their list is better than it was last year. And I think...
Yeah, it is.
I think they can manage to rest players when they need to. So guys like Gorn won't be down at the same time that... Jones is out or Hogan's out. Hogan had a horror run through, you know, well-documented cancer issues and whatnot. But with him back in the side and hopefully, you know, everything's all sorted there, the team looks so much better already.
Yeah.
And then throw in the fact if Gorn can get 22 games out, Lever down back, you want him to stay fit all the time. And then, you know, Oliver, Viney.
Well, to be honest,
this is great.
Lever's just got to get through the Adelaide games. If he can handle that, because there was so much off-field shit and through the media and all that. If he can handle that pressure, the rest of the season's a breeze for him.
It'll say a lot about him, won't it?
It will, yeah. I
mean, the good thing is, living in Melbourne, he's not going to see the advertiser ever.
No.
So all the stuff that's written about him in there by Michelangelo Ricci, he'll never read.
True.
Yeah. All right, that'll do us for Melbourne. Thanks for that, Ricky and Harves. It looks all looking up for the Demons, I think.
Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.